Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So
great sage, time and alias, everything in due course, so high that the subject matter which happened prior to this day of Brahma is still fresh in your memory and disturbed by time. So this is conversations, question and answers between spiritual master and disciple, Śrīla Vyāsadeva and Sri Narada Muni. So the subject matter at hand, of course, is discussion about topics relating to the Absolute Truth, the Saman Guna of Krishna. So the inquisitiveness of a sincere disciple is seen here. The example is given by the life of Narada Muni, who was following the instructions given by the Bhaktivedanta in his previous life. And these instructions, of course, were not only pertaining to his non-permanent body, his non-permanent mind. These topics were related to his original identity. Therefore, he could remember them as a spirit soul in a pure consciousness as such Chit Ananda. So we have this eternal knowledge with us that we carry from one birth to the other. And depending on the aggravation of the situation, our association with the modes of material nature, we are either in ignorance or we're living in this world, but we have transcendental knowledge, we have transcendental vision. Just as Prabhupada is explaining here, that Narada Muni had achieved the spiritual consciousness, although he was still living in this material world, and although it seemed like he was inhabiting a material body, but still transcendental knowledge was something not far away from him. So it always remained fresh. Topics about Krishna never get annihilated because these are topics dealing with the Supreme Transcendental Person who is never annihilated and who is never touched by any mode of material nature. So this is a very positive question. We may wonder, I'm practicing the process of sadhana bhakti, and how is it that this will continue with me after the destruction of my current body? Like, nothing we know in this material world lasts. Right? The body is constantly changing. Through the agency of time, we can understand how time diminishes everything. Time steals away everything. And in the form of death, time captures all our so-called treasures of material existence. Our name, our fame, our beauty, our opulence, these are all extricated from us by the stringent laws of material nature. And according to the mode of nature that we associate with, of course, we develop a specific faith. And we develop attachment. According to our level of attachment, we will be in distress when these, at the time of death, when time is taking away everything that we've cherished in material existence. Whether it's the expansions of the body, or things related to the body, or the body itself. Time does not wait for no man. Just like death, it conquers all. From the lowest region to the higher portions of material existence, there's this element of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. So no one is excluded from this situation. So anything that is material diminishes over a period of time. Krishna explains the nature of material existence in the Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna wants us to understand real knowledge means we get to understand what is permanent and what is non-permanent, and we act accordingly. Any other knowledge, Prabhupada is explaining that it is just mode of ignorance and it puts us into illusion. So if we're being taught everything about how to embrace the material energy, how to associate very closely and very loosely with the material energy, then we will not understand the difference between matter and spirit. Then we will always be bound by the laws of material nature. We will always be put into forgetfulness. And this forgetfulness, this is one of the binding agents. When we're in forgetfulness of Krishna, we fall further and further into ignorance. And the further we're in ignorance, the further we glide down into the lowest species of existence. We have 8.4 million different species of life. And as Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, that in the 16th chapter, Krishna explains that if we hold to a demoniac mentality, which means we do not accept any kind of authority, we don't accept any kind of rules or regulations, but really liberating ourselves, then we are functioning under the mode of ignorance. And anyone functioning under the mode of ignorance is classified as an asura, or a demon. Not necessarily that we walk around with tridents and we have, you know, horns poking from our foreheads or from our backside, but that our mentality is very demoniac because we are not accepting the divine rule of Krishna. And Prabhupada very firmly in certain purpose in the Srimad Bhagavatam is always making this distinction that there's two classes of people. There's the devatas and there's the demons. There's no in-between. So we either fall under a devic character or a demoniac character. We can't be half and half. So we choose for ourselves, do I want to possess the qualities of those who accept Krishna's authority, or do I want to be against Krishna's authority? So we make that choice for ourselves. Like Krishna firmly explained that if we choose the option of accepting the mode of ignorance, rejecting authority given by Krishna, then we have a demoniac mentality. Then we can't actually make any advancement in understanding transcendental subject matters because we don't accept authority. We concoct our own authority. We make our own God. Therefore, there's different modes of worship. You have people who worship ghosts and spirits. Those who worship the demigods are classified to be in the mode of goodness. Those who worship ghosts and spirits are classified actually to be in the mode of darkness. So we have different faiths according to the modes of material nature that we are associating with. Now, Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not giving anything pertaining to dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. Krishna is giving transcendental knowledge directly, accessing him as the saman bona. Therefore, this is why this subject matter, once being heard by one who is in pure consciousness, cannot actually forget Krishna. So Narada Muni, by the process of sadhana bhakti, by his shravanam and kirtanam, he was able to relish and retain this transcendental knowledge that he heard from the Bhaktivedantas. So it is possible that just from the hearing and chanting abilities that we have, we can situate ourselves in transcendental knowledge, and we can come to the point of liberation in the same body that we have now, in the same life, depending on our determination to cut through the tree of material existence. We can achieve liberation. So we know that whatever is in this material world diminishes over a period of time. So first of all, the body that we have, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the body has six transformations. Right? When the living entity is embodying a material body, it goes through different changes. So we take birth. Everyone is taking birth. We don't come from a stalk, nor are we growing from a lotus flower, like Lord Brahma. But we're born, we grow, we stay for some time, and then we start producing byproducts. Anything that has life goes through these different body changes. The plant species, the animal species, they go through these changes as well. So we produce some byproducts, and then very slowly, due to the influence of time, kala, which is Krishna, we slowly start vanishing. Old age hits, our expiry date draws closer, and then eventually the body vanishes. The body which is made of, in the 13th chapter, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna the material composition of the creation, and also not only the cosmic creation, but also our own body, this little universal field we have called the body. Now, Arjuna is asking this question. Arjuna wants to understand what is Brahman, what is Kshetra, what is the field of activity, who is the knower of the field, what is real knowledge. So Krishna starts explaining the material composition of the gross and subtle body. So he's explaining that, yes, one of my energies is superior and the other is inferior. So the living entity is inferior by nature. Sorry, is superior. But the external energy is inferior. So the external energy, the material elements, the five force, the Mahabhuta, the five force elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether are there. They are created. They are in us and they are also in the universe. And from that point, we also have the mind, which is subtle matter, that's also been created, and we also have that. We have the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, and all these constitute the fields of activity. So this is where things happen. Right? We access, we have our daily life, everything goes through our sense perceptions, our hearing, touching, feeling, tasting, our working senses, our, you know, our evacuating faculties. These are all there. These are all the, this is a field of activity. So this is how we access knowledge. This is how we convert our knowledge. It comes out in different ways through the body. Desire, hatred, distress. These are all a result of the interactions these elements have with the modes of material nature, influenced by time. So Krishna is explaining all these to Arjuna, and in the end he says, the body is always changing, right? The field is non-permanent. But the Kshetragya, which Krishna has explained, the knower of the field, that is the permanent. So the knower of all these activities, the one who is residing, there's two Kshetragyas, there's the soul and the super soul. So they are actually the knower of the field of activities. They are the permanent. Everything else is the non-permanent. So Krishna is explaining these points in the Bhagavad Gita so that we can carefully analyze through analytical knowledge what is permanent and what is non-permanent, and we act accordingly. So we will go and seek nectar in the permanent. The non-permanent, it will diminish over time. It is not important. So we take on different conceptions from one birth to the other, accepting one body, giving up another body, accepting one body, giving it up again, accept this body, that body, under the different modes of material nature. And hence gradually and gradually our ignorance builds. Gradually and gradually we come into forgetfulness of real knowledge. So the cycle of repeated birth and death is dangerous because it keeps us in ignorance. We forget Krishna. We forget how there's a difference between matter and spirit. We just go along with things. We're just kind of like, you know, the air carries aromas. It just goes. It adapts. Okay, now I'm in a man's body, I'm in a woman's body, blue, gray, white, purple. And it just carries on and on and on and on without questioning. So this is ignorance. But in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, the Purushottama Yoga, Krishna is explaining the nature of material existence and the reality. So he says there's a banyan tree, and by the riverbed you can see the reflection. That is the material existence. It is just a reflection. There's reality elsewhere. So we should be seeking what that reality is and stop trying to find the nectar in the reflection. So we cut off this connection with the reflection by accessing the eternal, the permanent. But this is very difficult. Because Bhagavad Gita 15, in the 15th chapter, is explaining how you don't even know where this tree begins of material existence. Where do you start chopping off the leaves? The branches, the stem. You know, a banyan tree is massive, it's huge. Imagine you're giving a sword, right? And you're told, you're dropped from the sky, you know, it's kind of like, you know how people in this material existence do these strange things like Fear Factor and Survivor. Stupid things, we're just wasting time, wasting the precious value of human life. So they come up with all these different things, survival skills. So they drop you in the middle of nowhere and you're supposed to survive. So you're dropped in the middle of a ginormous banyan tree. And you're told, okay, you have 2 days, get yourself out, cut your way through. Now, a banyan tree, okay, is this the root? Is this the stem? How do I find the stem? You have to kill that tree. Where do you begin? You don't even know it. Left, right, center, up, down, side to side. Where do you find the root of this tree? Because it's massive. It's so intricate. So what often happens? Oh, well, I might as well just like live in the tree. What's the point? I won't strive for anything. I'll continue in my ignorance is bliss. So this material like this, it is very dangerous because it makes us forget. And this banyan tree analogy is very, very perfect because this is material existence. We are caught up in a network of illusions, which brings deep, deep ignorance. And the more ignorance, the further we glide down into the lower species of life, forgetting the real subject matter, forgetting what is permanent in our existence. Now, what is very, very amazing in this purport is that we can see Krishna's mercy. Without him, actually, even material creation cannot function. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that consciousness of the material body means that the spiritual consciousness is acting via the medium of matter. So it is perverted, right? So the soul is in this body, and the reason why the body is working is because of the soul. When the soul leaves the body cannot work. So it is spiritual consciousness that is actually making this body function. The superior nature, the superior energy is making dull matter work. Consciousness of the material body means spiritual consciousness expressed through the medium of the material body. So we understand from this point that we are actually superior. But our pervertedness, our desire to lord it over material nature, creates a situation where everything we touch when we mix with matter becomes depleted. Just like when you take a pure raindrop, when a raindrop falls from the sky and mixes with the mud, it becomes contaminated. But originally it is pure. It is pure water. But in contact with matter, you can't even see the existence of, you know, H2O. You can't see the water. It is mud. So just as in this body, it is very difficult, at least I know for myself, to see the soul. I can't see it. Because I'm contaminated with matter. My vision is still very material. My mind is still very material. So I can't access my spiritual nature. That is why we have to be Paramahamsas. We have to, with knowledge and detachment, be able to seek out the nectar, that which is permanent, within our material existence. Everything else is annihilated. Our material wealth, our beauty, our youth, by time. And it is Krishna's mercy that he enforces time, because then we are forced to deal with reality. Well, if we're sincere. For example, the custom of Narada Muni, once when his mother, later on we'll hear how his mother wandered off to go and milk the cow in the evening and she got bitten by a snake. Right? And in the translation it mentions, due to time, this happens. And then what did Narada Muni do? He saw it as a blessing. He started traveling all over the place. And reaching a point where he was meditating on Krishna, and Krishna came and sat on the lotus of his heart. And the purport is that, Srila Prabhupada explains, this time factor can become a blessing to the living entity who wants to seek out transcendental knowledge. So Narada Muni's life is a great example for us, because we can see he followed a process of hearing and chanting from Bhaktivedantas, and he put it into practice. So the proof is there that we can actually perfect our existence by following a process that Srila Prabhupada gave. So if ever we had any doubt, Srimad Bhagavatam and its topics, these are eternal topics that having once heard, one cannot actually forget. Just as having once gone, we go back to Godhead, you know, we do not come back again to this material existence. Prabhupada mentions that in a later purport. So it is pivotal that we actually understand the workings of the material creation, how involvement in a material consciousness or in a materialistic way of life, we get into forgetfulness. But when we get involved in the spiritual nature, we revive our Satchit-Ananda aspect of existence, our real nature. So at any point in time, Krishna is never in forgetfulness. Right now, we are thinking, we are Asat-Ananda. So Asat-Achit-Aniyananda. We think we're going to die after this. We're just finished because we can't relate to our spirit, the soul in the body. We have no knowledge. Knowledge doesn't just mean you know how to work your iPod or your iPad, or you can calculate this and that. That is nice. 1 + 1 = 2. That's great. 4 × 4, that's great. We have the answers to that, and we have a GPS. We can work that. We can navigate it. We can mix colors and make paint. Yes, this is knowledge to some degree. But real knowledge is pertaining to understanding, you know, who are you? Are you permanent? Are you temporary? So you find that out, and then what? This is another point. You find out, okay, there's a difference between matter and spirit, and I'm actually eternal. My body is changing. My covering is changing. So we find out all of this, and then what? Because some people just say, yes, I'm spirit. That's great. And then what? What do you do? You're spirit, so what are you going to do? You're going to keep on saying, I'm spirit, or are you going to do something about that to initialize the next steps of knowing, okay, if I'm spirit, what are my activities? How do I wake up from this dense, dark illusion of material existence? How do I cut through the ignorance? It says in the 15th chapter, determination is very important in the process of bhakti. As I mentioned, this banyan tree, if we were all to be given opportunity to go and, you know, be dropped in a banyan tree somewhere and cut it out, root it out completely, we will think, you gotta be kidding, because I don't even know where to begin, it's gonna take me forever. And Prabhupada mentions determination. We have to be determined to cut out material existence, to cut out ignorance. So this means day after day after day after day, try and alleviate ignorance in our lives. So Prabhupada was very firm, hearing and chanting is very important. This is the foundation for so many things. Prahlada Maharaj mentioned, Sharanam Ketanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Ajnam Vandam Dasyam Atmanivedanam. And at some point we just completely surrender to Krishna and understand, yes Krishna, these are your material elements, you have your five gross elements, you have your working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, the modes of material nature, there's the aspect of time, intelligence, the false ego, this is all working under your guided supervision. The external energy itself is also working under your guided supervision. We know all of these things, but then after that we have to act accordingly. Live our lives in such a way that we won't be disturbed by the comings and goings of material existence. We won't be disturbed by time. So yeah, you're 10 years old, life is good, no worries, everything is fresh and firm. And then you hit 35 and everything starts losing elasticity, everything starts losing tenderness, juiciness. Are we going to be affected by that, or do we understand it based on knowledge and detachment? Do we understand that actually, you know, this body is always going to change, it's not going to stay with me, so I'm not going to get caught up and think that this non-permanent thing is me. This gives us forgetfulness. This gives us illusion. So we should learn not to be so influenced by the aspect of time, not to be in fear. We're supposed to be a Vaishnava, is fearless. And so death is just one of the, it's like a very long sleep, and then you wake up. What's the big deal? Every night we go to bed thinking, I'm going to bed, and it's, you know, I'm finished, I'm dying. We wake up the next day, and it's just, it happens. You sleep, you die, you're not actually dying. You're changing bodies. So we understand the change, the science of changing bodies. You understand that you're actually eternal. Now we have to link ourselves up with knowledge about that which is eternal, that which is transcendental. That is our destination. Our destination, hopefully, is not to come back to material existence and be comfortable. We can be comfortable now. We have a good job. We have PR. We have a good wife. Everything is going great. But this is not our situation. This is a non-permanent place. It is temporary. So for a devotee, we are always ready to retain transcendental subject matters because it is actually the soul that is hearing. So the soul is eternally part and parcel of Krishna. We can never be annihilated at any point. We can try and annihilate our existence by merging, by not being active, but that is temporary. Prabhupada explains, you must come down because that is not a natural state of existence. Becoming one with Krishna, having no activities, that is not natural for the living entity. What is natural is that we are part and parcel of Krishna, and our dharma is to serve Krishna. If we want to do it in a perverted way, that's fine. Krishna organizes a field of activity called material creation. We can try it out, and when we get burnt, we can humbly then approach Krishna by the agency of a spiritual master and be engaged in devotional service and get purified. So in a lecture I was listening to, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that, you know, yoga practice, which is very common in this day and age. You know, yesterday I was speaking to a friend and we were saying, you know, we have so many advertisements and posts and this retreat, that retreat, and not a lot of people come. But if you see a retreat for Mauna Vrata retreat, right? Come together for a weekend of silence. There's about 100 people go. Or, you know, Vipassana meditation. Very, very common. People are into this type of stuff. So why is it that, you know, we are offering someone bone of the absolute truth? And people are not flocking to it like gold. Now people are flocking to something else. So I was thinking, I was meditating and I was trying to figure out why. And I was thinking, you know, Krishna is there, of course, in every situation. Krishna is the super soul. And he's guiding all the living entities who are, you know, seated on this machine, being pushed by their desires. And I was understanding that Krishna does not pull just anyone and everyone towards him. Krishna can't force anyone. So when we are sincerely qualified, Krishna makes the arrangements. When we start developing some kind of attraction or faith towards a sincere process, then Krishna makes the arrangements. But as long as we maintain or harbor a desire to enjoy separately on a gross or subtle platform, then we're on pause. So some people go to different festivals like Rainbow Serpent or Rainbow something here in Melbourne, Tasmania, you know, wherever, Wukup land somewhere. So people amalgamate in masses. And what is this? It is people in an open field. You bring your own philosophy and everyone is sharing what they know. So you have people doing, you know, Tai Chi, masseurs, and you bring a little bit of your philosophy and you share with people, and it's fun, loving, no drugs, alcohol allowed, but it always ends up there. And people are just like simply having a good time. But when I was thinking about it very, very detailed, analyzing, you know, people have, you know, gross and subtle intentions. And on this subtle platform, people, the biggest thing, are desiring to be known and to be elevated and to be put on a pedestal. Or he's explaining his philosophy. Right? Our philosophy on life. Me, a jiva. conditioned, subject to four illusions, I have a philosophy. And I'm going to express it. Covered by the modes of passion and ignorance, little dints of goodness, and I have a philosophy. And I'm going to share it with the world. I do not accept Krishna. I take from here and there. I have a philosophy. I will concoct my own God or my own philosophy and understand what the universe is about. Pride, envy. So people amalgamate to do this kind of stuff. So you can see there's so much contamination. But when you're really sincere, Krishna will push you to a certain place where you start developing humility, understanding that I'm a servant of Krishna. And when you start learning, we have to humble ourselves. We're insignificant servants of Krishna. People don't like hearing that. No one likes hearing that they're insignificant. Servant. Everyone wants to be master. So you tell people, you know, we're just part of Krishna. And we're meant to serve the whole. The part is meant to serve the whole. Just like you take the hand, put it in the stomach. You know, it feeds the entire body. Krishna is the root. And we're all different subsections of Him. So we're meant to serve Krishna. It's hard to digest. It's like eating 25 chickpeas and expecting to digest them in 5 minutes. It won't work. So people can't actually grasp the fact that they are Krishna or Nitya Das. They're eternally servants of Krishna. No, that's why people amalgamate in different areas where they're being cheated, or where they themselves want to be cheated. But we, you know, you don't see like people squashed against each other in the temple room in the morning for Bhagavatam class to hear about how they can get liberated from material existence. And everyone wants to stay here because they believe through their ignorance that they will be blissful. People are into this whole seeing is believing. You can't even see through the door. You can't even hear for certain miles, but you trust your senses so much that you reject any authoritative knowledge explaining what the absolute truth is. The oldest language, which is also scientifically proven, the oldest scriptures. Scientists are still trying to figure out different planets. They can open up a Bhagavatam and read about it. The distance between the earth and the sun and the moon, they can open up the Bhagavatam and read about it. But what is there? I have a philosophy, I'm proud. I will not look towards Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. I will not look to Krishna because that is taking away my controllership, my proprietorship. So this is a world of material consciousness. Now to be in a world of spiritual consciousness means you accept with faith and devotion gradually the words from the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Although it is far-fetched, it is far out. Right? We were reading the other day at Urban Yoga. Sometimes we hear of elephants flying, mountains that would fly, interplanetary discourses, how the devatas, you know, they don't touch the earth, they're always levitating. How during the Rajasuya Yajnas, you had different sages who would come along the Ganges River from one universe to the other. This is the mode of travel. You don't need a visa. So you travel on the sacred Ganges River. So you hear all these things, and you know, Nandi, the carrier of Lord Shiva, she's also coming from Kailash, and this is a bull, doesn't touch the ground. And we're thinking, come on, this is too much. But material consciousness forces us to believe that this is the real you, and we accept it. Now that is sheer foolishness, because we know today I'm wearing this, tomorrow I'm wearing something else. That is the body. And we have seen it in front of us. Grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, the body is there. But it is dead because the real soul, the real person is not in there. Right in front of our eyes we see this and still we reject. This is foolish. This is mode of ignorance. You're going to die. I don't care. So by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by listening to these pastimes of Narada Muni, the great sages, how they've assembled to to repeat this transcendental literature, we're put in a situation where our spiritual consciousness gets revived and we start understanding what is matter, what is spirit. And in that way, our entanglement from residing in this banyan tree of material existence is cut to pieces by knowledge and detachment. And the underlying link is that we have to have strong determination to cut through material existence. So the process of Shravanam Kirtanam is highly recommended by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And in that way, we'll always be protected from violence against the external energy. And that greatest violence is identifying with the body and not with the soul. That is spiritual suicide. Hare Krishna, any comments or questions? Yes, Casper,
please. Any question? You mentioned that Prabhupada said that we're not going to be divided into demons and devotees. And that there's no middle ground. On that gray area, what is the position of someone who's just coming to Krishna consciousness or someone who
So they're not fully into spiritual activities, neither are they fully into material existence. There needs to be. Okay. So Prabhupada in text 7 of chapter 16 is explaining, you know, divine and demoniac personalities, it starts with the consciousness, it starts with the mentality. So Prabhupada explained that when you reject any authority for rules and regulations that are authorized, so even if it's authorized in terms of, you know, following the Quran or the Torah, the Talmud or the Bible or Bhagavad Gita, there has to be acceptance of an authority. Rejection of authority is a mode of ignorance, and Prabhupada classifies that as a demonic mentality because you're rejecting instructions of Krishna. Might be in a different faith, but you're rejecting that. And devic qualities, this means you are accepting the supremacy of a creator. You're accepting supremacy of Krishna or Jehovah or Allah, whoever you call. So when Prabhupada classifies, he's looking mainly at the consciousness and the mentality. And, you know, when people start coming to devotional service, somehow getting some, you know, agyanta sukriti, some unknown pious credit, Krishna puts them in a situation where they associate with devotees, they might have some residue of sinful activity. But if in their consciousness they're trying out or they're just beginning on a spiritual path, then we can't really term them to be highly, highly demoniac. The very fact that they're coming to here or they want to start practicing, it slowly starts cleaning them off a very negative slate. Now, Prabhupada normally uses the example of a fan, that you switch it off, but the motion is still going, but the fan is off. We don't consider that the fan is on. Slowly the motion will come to a stop. So our material disease is coming to a stop just when we begin the practice of Krishna consciousness. So gradually those spiritual attributes or our Krishna consciousness increases over time. But once you make that first step, Krishna accepts you. But if we're doing it haphazardly or wanting to take a little bit of this, a little bit of that and concoct our own thing, that's going against the order of Krishna. That is a demonic mentality. So in life, you're either an example given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, you know, it's like trying to have your legs in one boat and the other in another, and you're trying to live life like that. It's very difficult. You can't sustain it. You have to choose. And sometimes people just want to do that, just keep floating and keep trying. But eventually they'll fail. They have to accept something. They have to accept some direction in life. I'll just read the quotes here. Prabhupada says here, this is text 7. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life. That is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by the authorities. One who does not follow the regulated principles as they are laid down in the scriptures and who acts according to his whims is called demoniac or asuric. So we have to live some regulate. We have to accept some regulation. Without regulation, our mentality is classified as demoniac. But when we begin the process of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was mentioning in a letter we're reading in Bhakti Shastri that what if sometimes you still have material desires in your devotee? And Prabhupada says, are you demoniac or are you divine? So we're studying chapter 16. And Prabhupada said, there's no question. Gradually it goes away. Krishna considers you as divine because you're taking through his process. You're accepting authority based on Krishna. But it doesn't, we don't become pure overnight or a weekend. We let go, we detach ourselves from the bad tendencies and we attach ourselves to Krishna conscious activities. So there's a gradual elevation that has to happen. But Prabhupada himself says, the conditioned souls in the material world, two classes. You either accept authority of Krishna and live a regulated life, or if you do the opposite. That is the situation. Although some people will look like they're living a sattvic life or the very mode of goodness, but there's no rules and regulation in their life in general. So the consciousness, this is the root cause of the problem. Are they doing it for gross or subtle reasons? That is still material, gross and subtle together. So we have to root out the subtle material existence as well, pride, envy, all these different things.
So if you mention about the sense attitudes, when you mentioned the people, you have to surrender that as the service commission. But so many times you see how we write, especially in some of the tourist places, and we hope that it will help us to serve you better. They say something that we write something like that on the doors of the institute or something. Mm-hmm. So why do they use, they can use this word to serve, right? We will try to serve you better. Mm-hmm. We come to the doctor or we come to the doctor anywhere. But when we mention in this context, out of nowhere, just cannot accept this word at all. So how do you?
Which word can't they accept?
Like to serve, they use this
word. We want to serve you better,
yeah,
but at the same time.
Try to serve you better, we will.
Well, material existence means that you're actually depending on your own strength. And this is also in the 16th chapter, that anything you do is coming from your own strength. It has nothing, you have good karma, you have a good situation, it is all because of you. It has nothing to do with, you know, material nature providing, it has nothing to do with Krishna. Prabhupada in the 16th chapter explains that it is because of Krishna and Mother Nature that you get given certain opportunities. So they bless you, they give you a body, they give you a situation where you're going to take birth in a certain womb. But people like that, they think, oh, it's because of me. I, it is me. I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent. They don't know that everything comes from Krishna. So they use that selfishly, and if you try to make them remember that actually your good karma is a result of the laws of nature, you got rewarded for your good deeds, you can't separate that from your existence, that they reject. That's why people don't accept karma. Because that means there's someone administering, you know, a result. It's not, they don't accept karma, it's because it's just them. Prabhupada explains this in the 16th chapter. So although they'll say we'll try and serve you better, You know, by my means, by my intelligence, by my mind, I will try and serve you, the external body. So it's perverted. They want to be the, you know, the greatest. I mean, you know, not that we speak bad about, you know, any institution or doctors or whatever. We have to maintain the body, we have to maintain the planet and clean and do the different things. But, you know, if we want real liberation, we have to do what is necessary. We have to understand what is of vast importance. What is primary and what is secondary. Everyone wants to serve. That is the nature of the soul. Everyone wants to serve. But how you serve is the question. You had a question before?
Yeah,
you know, when we begin at the special, it's like, remember how we started chanting when you begin Krishna consciousness. You're not attentive. Well, at least for myself. I was everywhere. Right, my mind was just like zoning off. And I'd go out and have a smoke. You know, I was in Cape Town, like, you know, chanting a few rounds. I just couldn't handle it. I should go out and have a cigarette. Come back in, Sunday feast. Walk back home, smoke some dope. But I was doing this at the same time going to the temple. So how is it that gradually, you know, shriveled off and then I stopped completely? So Krishna in the beginning is explained that, you know, we make offenses, we chant, we're not attentive. You know, we do so many things, we don't know the rules and regs properly. You know, we do all sorts of things. And Krishna is just thinking, oh, it's just a new beginner. I won't take it seriously. If Krishna took it very, very seriously, you know, some of us wouldn't be here because we were so offensive, committed so many aparadhas. But when we're coming, this is like, you know, it's like a little baby trying to walk. You know, we can't expect a child after 3 days to walk. They will stumble, they will fall, but it's okay. We don't even consider that. They are on the right path. So when sincere people just start coming, they're on the right path, Krishna helps them. Oh, you did this yesterday, it's okay, just focus on this. And gradually through Sadhu Sangha, we get stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay, I think it's time to stop now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.